Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Today is Saturday, the 13th of January, 2018, and we pray all is well with you and your family and in your home. We'd just like to come on this morning. Again, we're live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Just as a reminder, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. If you're listening there online, you can also call in at 646-668-2636 and join the conversation, share your insights, wisdom, and also ask questions. Tonight, we're going to talk about a couple things. We're going to talk about some disciplines of godly man. We're going to give a word of encouragement. We have some upcoming events. We want to invite you to join with us. A couple marriage retreats coming up in 2018. And also just want to share, again, some words of encouragement for the brothers, for the fathers, husbands, and sons. In the midst of your struggles, in the midst of the choices, in the midst of leaving in the families, in the church, and in the community. Amen. Well, first, we'll open with scripture and prayer. We're going to get right into the conversation. I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter, number 1, starting at verse number 3. Lord, thank you, Jesus. And the Word of God says, blessed be the God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercies have begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved to heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. Father God, we say thank you today, God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, God. We thank you, God, for the salvation, God. We thank you for the shed blood, oh God, for the sacrifice that you have made, oh God, in the manifestation of your Son, Jesus, and into this temple plane, oh God, that we might be, God, redeemed back to you, God, reconciled back unto you, God, that for the forgiveness of sins, oh God, that we might spend eternity with you. So, Father, I pray today, oh God, that you will keep your men, keep your husbands, your fathers, those that are in your church, oh God. Keep those men faithful to the call in their lives. Keep them faithful to the things that you called, that you created them for, because we all were created for purpose, God. So today, God, I ask you, God, to keep your hand looking around them, so they had to return from their hearts and their minds, God. Guide and direct them, God. Seek that they would seek you for all their choices, oh God. Strengthen them in peace. I want to say amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Again, this is Deacon Thomas Farr. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and today is Saturday, the 13th. For those of you who are regular listeners during the week, from Mondays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 8, and Thursday nights at 8 p.m., this is a Saturday for 2018. We've added a new Saturday, 9 a.m., so we encourage you to reach out to join us. Set your schedules. It's been an early morning for a word of encouragement on Saturday mornings for the upcoming year. Amen. Well, tonight I want to share something with you about some upcoming marriage events. So we have a couple coming up here in the first quarter of the year. The first one is going to be held on March the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of 2018. It's going to be hosted by Married Impact Ministries, Marriage Conference, and they're going to be held at the Embassy Suites in Williamsburg, Virginia. The Donnie and Latoya Neal are the host. Registration is $50, and the room rate is $99 per night. You can call them at 443-282-8653 and leave them voicemail, connect with them. Also, if you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page, you'll see the link there, the flyer, and we encourage you to come out and join them. It's open to engaged couples, married couples, those who are seeking to build godly relationships. So just reach out to them. Registration is open until, I believe it's the end of this week, until I believe the 15th or 16th of this week. So give them a call and reserve your spot. Included in the retreat is going to be breakfast. There's going to be a reception every night. There's an indoor pool at the hotel. They're going to be going out to Captain George's. They have horseback riding and other events with times of fellowship for that weekend. Amen. That's March, so it should be spring weather, should be breaking, and take a nice early morning horseback ride with your wife and your spouse. Amen. And the next one is going to be April the 27th. That's the end of April, April 27th to 28th and 29th. And this is the Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship, their fourth annual marriage retreat, The Keys to a Successful Biblical Marriage. It's an overnight retreat. We're going down to Chantilly, Virginia, at the Staybridge Suites there in Chantilly. The cost for that is $325 per couple. It includes the lodging, the meals, and all the study materials. You're requesting a $100 deposit by the 22nd of January. You can reach out to the church by calling 443-784-8826. That's 443-784-8826. So you also, as always, you can go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. You can see the link there for the flyer and get the information and call. So we encourage you. We have two events here to come to strengthen marriages, to strengthen relationships. Because again, our marriage relationship is a representation of Christ and His church. And with strong marriages, we set an example in the community. With strong relationships, we should be able to set an example to the community. We need to be salt and light. And if our marriage relationships can show that to the children, to those watching around us, to encourage them to understand what the relationship with Christ and His church really looks like. And also, just to strengthen our marriage, no matter how long you've been married, 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, or your one-year anniversary, you're brand new, fresh-out-the-box marriage. But there's also things we have to be able to do to grow our marriage. We have to cultivate our marriage. We have to be able to put time into our marriages. They may be rooted and grounded on the Word of God and rooted and grounded on your relationship to strengthen it, that you can stand by one another. Amen? Amen. So today I want to encourage the fathers. I want to share something I want to read from the Christian Men's Network. This is one of the ministries that that helped me in my maturation and growth and into manhood, into understand what it means to be a Christian man, a Christian husband, Christian father. So I'm going to share this real quick as a word of encouragement for fathers out there. The core of man was formed by the breath of his father. God created man from the dust and breathed life into him. So a young man receives his centering when he is held close to in the arms of his father. The word family means father's house. There are six essential gifts, attributes of character and life that every man must give to his sons and daughters. They are love, acceptance, value, intimacy, discipline, and security. When a father gives his children love, they grow healthy lives. When he gives them acceptance, they gain personal affirmation. When he gives them value, they increase their sense of destiny. When he gives them intimacy, they are able to worship God as well as build healthy relationships. When a father disciplines his children, he shows them that he truly loves them. When a man provides security, it reinforces their sense of God's love and grace towards him. These are essential. They cannot be held back or given to the wife or the pastor to accomplish. This is a man's role as a father. This is just what is expected as a man. When we make a baby, we become a father. It's just what we do. Let's build a new generation of great fathers by the God now, and I know you can. And that's from Paul, who was called Christian Men's Network. So I just want to give that encouragement for my brothers out there, for the fathers who may be struggling. But your children are doing things that, you know, they're not pleasing. They're making choices. They're living their lives. They're making good choices, bad choices, no matter where they are. But I just want to encourage you that you continue to pray. You continue to mentor, continue to guide, and continue to speak into their lives, you know, and then pray. And I think the biggest thing we can do as fathers is truly pray for us, our children, our sons and daughters, that they might come to an understanding of who they are and be rooted and grounded. And also always, always, always make yourself available to listen, to be able to encourage, and to be able to motivate them in the positive things and the things of God and the right choices of life. Amen. And for us to truly do that, we first have to look at ourselves in the mirror and be honest with who we are, be honest with our mistakes, be honest with our shortcomings and failures, but yet we repent, we show growth, and we also have compassion for them when they go through. You know, at a lot of things, it's a lot of men's events. We talk about the struggles that fathers have with their children, adult children, teenage children, but everything we can't protect them from, we can prepare them for, but we can't protect them from everything. So what kind of adults are we putting into the world? That's the thing we have to look at. Fine when a child is young, when a child is in elementary school, and we are protecting and guiding them, but someday they're going to grow up and they're going to be the adults. They're going to be the ones out there making choices, living lives, and affecting the culture. So what kind of adults are we raising? Amen. Well, today I'm going to talk about some disciplines of a godly man. Today we're going to touch on about five of them for this day, and then next Saturday we're going to touch on five more. But I just want to encourage you. Again, this is not, we do it, it's just Christian Men's Talk. We are here to encourage, we are here to enlighten, we are here to discuss. We're not here to put ourselves on the pedestals. Any of the men I know that come on and listen, you know, it's about growth. It's about all. It's about transparency. It's about honesty. It's about looking at what we struggle with, but what we are seeking to do. We're looking to be sanctified by God and be made better every day, learning from our choices, our mistakes, but yet growing in that thing that we do not fall down. We do not stay down. Even in our choices, we repent. We go back, we try again. We look to the Word of God to measure us and see what we measure ourselves against, the Word of God, not against each other. And yet, we still come together to encourage one another. Yeah, I have a brother that I can lean on, someone I can talk to, someone that can encourage me along the way, and someone I can encourage along the way. Because all the things that we have more in common than we are different. And sometimes that transparency or having those true relationships in our lives that we can be truthful with, that we don't have a facade, we're not putting on a masquerade about the struggles and the things that we go on in our life. But that's the most important thing, and that's why I hear it's just Christian Men's Talk. We desire and encourage men's ministry. Now, men's ministry can mean a lot of things. It can be weekly meetings, bi-weekly meetings, quarterly meetings, but whatever it is the church, is your body, is your local church, is setting an atmosphere where men can come and grow, where men can come and be ministered to, where men can come and heal, where men can come and be discipled and guided and directed to be who God called them to be. So men's ministry is not about the dates and time, how often you meet, but it's about, are we encouraging, are we edifying the men in the church on purpose with a strategy, or are we not? And the things that we do in men's ministry, and all collectively, is a glorifying God. So those are things we have to seek, even as leaders and even as leaders and pastors and deacons. What are we doing to edify the body and glorify God? Amen. The first discipline I want to talk about today, it's Saturday morning. I got to get used to the Saturday morning. This is about the third show. So this morning, we're going to touch on discipline of purity. Sensationalism is a big obstacle in godliness among Christian men. If we look at the fall of King David, it should not only instruct us, but scare us. And sensuality is right about us. It's right out of us. If you fill yourself with God's word, you memorize the passages of Scripture that keep us whole and keep us in a way that we with our minds are thinking right. We find someone who will help keep us and help keep our souls faithful to God. The pure mind is important, and it depends on what we're watching. That's why we have to also watch what we call entertainment. What are we watching? We just sit and binge and watch mindless TV shows on TV that sit and plant seeds and thoughts in our minds, movies, pornography, you know, soft porn, hard porn, whatever it is. Every man knows his level of temptation. Every man knows the things that turn them on and set them off. But then again, are we looking at what we're doing, and is it glorifying God? We look at Joseph, what he said in Genesis 30:99. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And that's what each of us has to look at. Things that we do that we call entertainment, things you watch on TV, or things you watch on the internet, pornography, the lust, the soft core, you know, whatever it is. They can go anywhere from bikinis to, Sports Illustrated bathing suit ads to, it all affects our purity level. It affects what we become sensitive to, what we're not moved by, what we accept, become acceptable, and how far we compromise until we find ourselves in sin. It's like King David. It didn't start on that rooftop. There was something going on with David when he did finally see Bathsheba. Something kicked in and switched on within him. So where are we and how are we protecting ourselves? Amen. Amen. The next one is going to be a discipline of relationship. To be what God wants us to be is to put some holy sweat into our relationships. We have to put some work into our relationships. If we're married, we need to live out the Ephesians chapter 5 verse that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Brothers, husbands, if that can be your mantra, that can be your foundational scripture for your marriage. Love your wives as Christ loved the church, that thing out. Whatever you need to do, let that be the mantra for your marriage. in everything. Because remember, what is Christ done for us, even in the midst of our failure and shortcomings, and even today, if we fail today? But God, hear our prayers, and can we repent from it, and can we continue to be used by Him and be redeemed back into a place in right relationship? And are we doing that with our wives? Are we doing that for our marriages, to maintain our marriages? For those who are fathers, God provides a workout in one sentence. It's going to say, Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and 4. That book of Ephesians is a lot there for us as husbands and fathers and sons, and where we're supposed to be, and set the guidelines and the blueprint for our lives. And that's important relationships with our wives, our spouses, relationship with our children. Those are the two greatest relationships. Doesn't matter who you are, pastor, deacon, elder, apostle, if your relationship in your home is not good with your family, at some point you're failing what God has called you to be and called you to do. Because the titles of leadership in the home, one of the basic requirements to be a leader in the church is to be a leader in your home, and a godly leader in obedience to His word, and to His principles, and to His teachings, and living your life accordingly. It's as simple as that. I mean, a lot of folks try to dress it up, try to make ways around it, but it says, if a man be a husband of one wife, and his children are determined if he can rule his children, how can he rule the church? So, if you can look at Greek and Hebrew, you can look at all these translations, but that's what it's come to. God is going to, we're going to stand before God as husbands and fathers, and God is going to judge us on how we handle that. Not how big our churches was, how great of outreach, how many hungry people we fed, how many poor people we clothed, but He's going to look at the relationships that He gave us first. Remember, Adam first had a wife. What are we going to be judged on? What are we going to be judged on? Because most of us have chosen. I don't think anybody recently that I know that got married or did a shotgun wedding. We chose a wife. We chose the woman. We chose to have children. And now we have to choose to provide and be in their lives emotionally, physically, and financially, and support them in their growth and development. That is our responsibility, what God would choose us from. Relations are not optional. When they enable us to develop into what God wants us to be most effectively and learn God's truth. That's the importance of being a part of a church body, being in our families, because that's where we test it. Do we truly say we're godly, or do we say we're saved? But then what we do when the test comes, when the test of life comes at us, when we are tested, when we have to go through trials, when things don't go our way, when we have one plan and the plans change. How do we respond to failure? How do we respond to success? These are the things that relationships do and test us and grind us. And then who do we have when we talk about relationships? Above from the family, our wives and children, but also those around us. Who speaks into our lives? Who are the men in our lives that can discipline us, correct us, and guide us? And what do their lives look like? Because you don't take advice from somebody who's broken up, because they can't tell you nothing, they're not living. I think that's the biggest part we have to be careful about when we talk about men's ministry and ministering and discipling one another and holding each other accountable. I can't take advice or listen to anyone about marriage when a man has been married 4 or 5 times. Period. I can't really listen to another man who's about marriage and relationships who's been divorced. Can't listen to a man tell me about children or going through a process with my children, adult children, who doesn't know his children. So he has, I don't care what this title may be in the church. That's what we have to be, men of discernment and of wisdom. Who are you listening to, and why are you listening to them? Don't be deceived by titles and positions, because a lot of that stuff is, again, we have to look to the Word of God. We set that threshold. That's our basic threshold, is the Word of God. So whenever you're in doubt, you ever have a problem to discern and understand, I advise you to go to Scripture, look at Scripture, and look at the person who you're talking to, how do they line up with Scripture. Then look at yourself, do you want to line up with Scripture, or do you want to be like them? It's as simple as that. Amen? Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here Saturday morning on the 13th of January, and we're talking about some disciplines in a man's life. Also, just as a reminder, we are here live every Saturday at 9 a.m., every Saturday at 9 a.m., you can always call in at 646-668-2636. And also go on the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. You can listen to the broadcast there always. You can listen to the archive. You can listen to us live. You don't have to call on the phone. You can listen on the internet connection. Also, you can reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk, Twitter, Issues Men's Talk. And follow us there, link up with us there, send us inboxes. If you have any questions or you have any show topic ideas or things you want to discuss, or we invite you as pastors, elders, deacons, mature men of God, if you want to come on and be a guest on the show, be a participant in the conversation, we encourage you to reach out to us and we can bring you onto the show. And also for my brothers that are called in this morning, if you want to share some insights or wisdom, you can push 1 on your keypad and we can bring you into the conversation. Amen. Our next discipline is the discipline of the mind, the potential of possessing the mind of Christ. This says so much. Possessing the mind of Christ. In the midst of the scandal, sometimes we see it goes around us in this culture and the church too. Do we think Christianity leaves our minds undisciplined? The Apostle Paul understood this well. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is, there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Philippians 4:8. Each ingredient is a matter of personal choice. We have to be able to choose what we allow in our mind, the things we think about. Again, it goes back to are we entertaining ourselves? Are we keeping a pure mind? Oh, we let a lot of crazy things get into our minds, so when it comes time to pray, these things, the enemy can pop these things back up. Are we thinking on these things that are lovely and good, these things that are honorable to God, the things that we want to do? What does God have us to be? Are we focusing and studying on His Word? That's one of the things we talked about a lot here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, that we as men of God start reading the Word and start to study His Word. Study the Word and look for application of His Word. So you never, you can have a Christian mind without being in Scriptures regularly. And that means regularly. And let me say this. I just want to encourage those. It's fine to read through the Bible in a year. But if the Bible hasn't changed you in a year, have you truly read it? And that's where we come when we use the word read. We want to change that word to study the Bible. If you took time to study the Bible, let the Word of God speak into your heart, speak into your mind. Let it become part of you and how you think. That it shapes everything, how you see the world. You see the world through the Scriptures. Then you have the mind of Christ. But you have to be in a regular menu or habit of reading the Word. It's just like anything else, from eating to exercise to going on my jobs, and that secular job is a habit. You have a habit of getting up in the morning, preparing yourself, getting in the car, driving to work, getting to work, and doing your job. If you're a physical fitness guy, you have a habit when you go to the gym. You're going to work on your quad. You're going to work on your upper body, lower body, abs, back. You have a systematic system to get to where you want to be. Some of us who went to school, to college, high school, there was a systematic course set for you to complete the course to get to where you wanted to be to get your degree. It's the same thing in the Christian life. We have to have a relationship of a regular reading and studying of the Word so that it has the influence over our lives and how we speak and how we live. So those are the most important things, that Word of God. Because God, again, a lot of folk pray about the will of God. They ask people about the will of God. They go to their pastors and leaders and ask about the will of God for their life. And people ask these deep questions. I say this to you. The will of God for your life is in His Scriptures, in His 66 books. And that's where you would determine and find the will of God for your life. If you are in His Word and studying His Word and seeking His Word. If you can live those things out. That's where you can start, what God wants for you to do. Because there'll be opportunities, but you have to be prepared to handle the opportunities and the circumstances that come into your life past as you live every day. Wherever you go to school, where you live, there's going to be opportunities for you to speak and to be used by God. And that's what we have to understand. It's not a supernatural, spiritual, mystical, magical thing about the will of God. He's given us Scripture for that purpose, for to understand and know Him. And one more for today that we want to share. We're going to continue on. But again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Also, I just wanted to share something too. In this new year, everyone goes into New Year's fasts and do different things. But We want to encourage you here at Ace Christian Men's Talk. We're doing the 21 challenge of the Gospel of John. And for that challenge, we put it out there for the brothers. Send some of those who are on our text list, our email list. But we've been doing a 21-day challenge for reading the 21 chapters of the Gospel of John. So we're in study and in depth and devotional, setting that as our devotional time. Today is the 13th of January, so we're in chapter 13. Let me just share some of the highlights for you. In that chapter, we talk about Jesus washing the feet of disciples, showing servitude and humility. We talk about Judas and his betrayal when Jesus called Judas out. That Steve didn't let the disciples know someone here was going to betray him, and he called Judas out in that chapter. That whole passage is there. And also the passage on Peter, foretelling Peter's denial three times. Even though Peter stood up and Peter said, "I'll die with you," and a lot of things that we do and say, what we would do for the church and for our pastors and for our families, but yet when the time of testing comes, we fail. And some of us fail miserably, but yet we speak, and this is in that chapter he talks about when Peter, he foretells Peter what he's going to do, and Peter Peter gets upset and denies him and tells him it's not true. However, God knows our hearts, God knows our mind, and God knows the test that we're going to stand and where we're going to fail. But yet, what do we do? You know, years ago, I was in a Bible study, and we talked, looked at Peter's life and Judas' life, and the difference between the two of them. They both failed Christ. But yet one repented and one couldn't repent, couldn't forgive himself. That's a whole other subject. But amen. But again, this 21-day challenge for the Gospel of John for the new year to set a foundation, to set a course, to shape and mold where you are in that gospel for the understanding. Because yet even in that, we are called to evangelize, we are called to share the word. So the gospel is a good place to see who Jesus was, what Jesus taught, and why he was sent here. So chapter 13 for today. And we continue on until we get to the 21st chapter of John for these first 21 days of 2018. Amen. Amen. So we're up to discipline of devotion. This goes right along with the mind. A time of reading God's word is essential. But meditation, internalizing the word, and responding. And it says in Psalms 40:8, "I desire to do your will, O my God." Beyond the instructions of Ephesians 6 and 18, there are two great reasons to pray. The more we expose our lives to the red-hot sun of Christ's righteous life, the more his image will be birthed to our character. The second reason is that prayer bends our wills to God's will. And that's what we talk about our time of devotion. What are we praying? How do we pray? And are we praying that Scripture will come alive in us, that we can be able to submit unto the Scripture? Many men never ever find sometimes an effective devotional life because they never plan for it. They never expose their lives to the pure light of the gospel of Christ. Again, it's the word of God. It's the word of God is what's going to save you. It's the word of God that's going to transform you. It's the word of God that's going to make you obedient and righteous before him. Nothing else you do, none of the hoops that, you know, some churches and some denominations have men and people of God jump through hoops to say that they're holy, and a lot of things out there that are mixed up in tradition. But the pure understanding of the word of God is what's going to make a difference. And are we disciplined enough to have a devotional time of reading and prayer? Reading and understanding and prayer. So prayer is submitting our wills to God's will through his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit that's living within us. And are we submitting to it? Or do we just want to dress up our ideas and thoughts and things we want to do and putting a Christian covering over it and, you know, putting a Christian glaze on it and say, this is what God has called for my life? But again, it's the fruit. It's what are we producing? What are we producing around it? Are we being effective? Who's in our circle? What are we doing? It's, our lives are different. That we look that we, to a lost and dying culture in a dying world, do we look different or do we look like them? Do we compromise? Or do we stand on the word regardless of the circumstances? Or do we compromise to please people and men because we don't want to be chosen out? We don't want to stick out. But are we living lives how Christ would have us live, to stand on his word, to live by his word, because we cannot judge and condemn others for a word that we are not living? That's what the Pharisees did, and Jesus called them hypocrites to their face because they made great laws and great proclamations, but yet they were living none of the things they wanted to hold the people under. So that's the importance of us having a devotional life, a disciplined life. So this is a review today. I just wanted to share that we talked about discipline of purity, keeping ourselves pure. The sensationalism and impurities and the things we do just to be keep ourselves excited can lead us into sin. This from the relationship. The relationships we have with our husbands and wives and our children, those around us, those in the body of Christ, those relationships we rebuild with other men and other church members. The discipline of the mind. Are we keeping our mind pure? Are we thinking of the things of God? Is our mind being shaped and molded by the thing of God? Are we thinking of those things that are honorable and just and right and pure and lovely? Or is our mind filled with a lot of the things of the world, a lot of things that is destructive, a lot of evil, envy, backbiting, gossip? Or are we keeping our minds pure? And we have a discipline of devotion. Are we devoted to the Word of God? Are we devoted to God? Are we devoted to prayer and time with God? Are we devoted to be effective in a devotional life that we are growing? You know, are we growing in different levels of maturity? You know, we all grow and mature at different levels, but yet we want to get to the same place, just like anything else. And I like to use the example of school and colleges. Are we moving from grade to level to level? And for those of us who don't, may not meet the mark the first time, are we getting tutors? Are we doing extra things? Are we doing spending more time in study? Everybody's not going to get an A, but everybody can do the best they can and still pass the course. Because, again, God sets the standard. Man doesn't set the standard. But are we doing our best to get to that place? Are we submitting to enough to be the student, the person, the God, the Christian that God wants us to be, the man of God, the husband, father, and son God has called us and created us to be? And are we pursuing that thing? Or are we just weak, you know, we just give up, we don't even try, or we just, we're just coasting through. We're doing the bare minimum and think it's okay. But yet, again, when we stand before God, every man's going to stand before him alone. You're not going to stand with your pastor or your church, but you're going to stand before God alone, and he's going to judge the fruit of your life and what did you produce for the things he called you to be and do, and did you fulfill those purposes to the best of your God-given talents and abilities, because God's put talents, abilities, and gifts in all of us to be used for his glory, and then we use them all. Amen? Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, I invite you to join us every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and every Saturday at 9 a.m. for 2018. Again, you can listen to the rebroadcast at www.blogtalkradio.com /Deacon Thomas Farr. You can always go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page or on Twitter at Issues Men's. You can hear the rebroadcast of this show and archive of all of our past shows. And again, I always encourage you to pray, to be faithful to God, and just believe that God can, God will. Amen, and have a wonderful weekend.